WDLR, Marysville, Delaware.
This is a radio station all about you.
I like things that are mine.
Good morning, and welcome to Off the Shelf on My96.7. Here are your hosts, Nicole Fowles and Molly Myers-Labate.
Well, good morning, Delaware County. It's going to be a little different. There's no Nicole Fowles today. You've just got Molly Myers-Labate and my new co-host for the day, Mark.
Your humble assistant is what I would, that's how I would phrase it.
You're going to be my humble assistant.
Your humble
today.
Assistant, yes, indeed. You can tell because I'm looking all humble.
You are looking. If you could see audience,
yes.
He is looking very, very humble.
Puppy dog eyes, humble.
Yes. And I'm looking very energized because I got a lot of adrenaline without a Nicole here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty excited about today. In the first half, we're going to talk a little bit about books again. But in the second half, we're going to have Anne McVoy, who is going to be bringing to life two characters. We'll talk more about that in the second half at two of our branches, though. And I'm really excited about one of those characters. The name might be the same as mine. So I'll leave that as a teaser.
Molly Hatchet? Really? Awesome.
Molly Hatchet.
Molly Hatchet's coming. Southern rock and roll at its best.
Not quite.
No? Okay.
And we'll have Anne joining us on the second half. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. Indeed.
Then I'm just going to jump in and start talking about a book.
You want to talk about, because that's what you guys talk about is books here in the library show.
We talk
show
about books
often.
On the library show.
Yeah, and this is a segment where you talk about something that you've read. And,
yes.
And Molly over here is very famous for her cookie cutter murders.
My cozy mysteries.
Cozy mysteries.
Oh, I love that. Oftentimes they do have cookie cutters involved. Well,
cutters can be sharp, you know.
And I'm not going to let you down today either, Mark. I definitely have a cozy mystery for you today. And let me pull it up here. Ah.
Well, cozy. She really enjoys these, by the way. It's
I
the
really
highlight.
Do.
And they're fascinating things.
They're wonderful mysteries that involve somebody who has died at the hands of someone else. And I, as normal, of course, any book that I try to pull up is not going to come up today. As my red books.
Yeah, murder mysteries, it's strange how they need that. They need someone who's died at the hands of someone else. Otherwise, the whole murder thing just doesn't work out right.
It never works out right.
And there's always somebody, they're in the kitchen, and they got their apron on, and they're making sugar cookies, and then they go back out into the living room, and then there's Grandma, and they're like, well, what happened to Grandma? Why is she on the floor?
And this one is going to be in a bookstore.
Oh, my gosh.
The one that I've got for you today is Bookman Dead Style by Paige Shelton. And in Bookman Dead Style, the beauty of this is the second book in the series. And I have to say, I did not miss the first book. I probably would really enjoy it. The book series is called Dangerous Type Mysteries. And you meet Claire, who's just a humble bookstore owner. She's known for being able to take an old falling apart book, maybe missing pages, and bringing it back. So think of that special childhood book that, you know, your pages are coming out of. I think of my dad's copy of Hide of the Hunter by Jesse Stewart. The pages were falling apart. The cover barely wants to keep the book together. And she brings it back to its beautiful glory.
Oh.
Well, she lives in a city called Star City. And Star City's known for their film festival. And all of the movie stars show up.
Oh.
Well, it's very exciting when one of those movie stars walks right into her bookshop to have some note cards put professionally into a binding from one of his researches for a movie. But before she knows it, his co-star in love is murdered.
Oh, no.
And two of his ex, you know, Hollywood girlfriends come into the store after he's pulled into prison.
Mm-hmm.
And the only person who can solve this mystery is Claire. Of course, her best friend is a police officer who, you know, when nobody's allowed to visit that movie star in jail, lets Claire into jail. Completely realistic. Completely realistic in all ways. Claire ends up invited to the famous party that only certain people in the city ever get to attend. It has that special kind of feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is another one you can get on Libby. You can check out the book series. This is great for those of you who are writers or lovers of old books. There is a whole cast of characters in the bookstore that you're going to get to know. There are extra mysteries of things left in book boxes, repair boxes, things left in books. Lots of things going on in this mystery, and you get to know the whole family all through again. So, Bookman Dead style, Dangerous Types Mystery. It is the second book, but you can jump in wherever you want. And I think it's really an enjoyable one. Now, Mark, have we ever asked you if you have read any books?
You have asked me about that before, and, and I am a little bit slow in that particular regard. I'm normally used to be a voracious reader, but these days I'm just having some issues with it. So I think the last one I talked about is the same one I talked about, Leviathan, which is from the Expanse series, and I haven't gotten any further. I haven't gone on to the other eight books in the series as of yet.
So. I'm going to have to really be, you know, coaching you each week when I come in to get a little more reading going.
Every single week, you guys mention all these great books, and I literally write them down, and then I never go get them. So that's how horrific it is. I did go to the Delaware Library a couple of weeks back, and just out, I was looking for another science fiction book, and I couldn't find it. So I'm walking down the aisle, and I see a Louis L'Amour Western sitting there, and it's big. It's covered in leather. It's bound in leather, so it's very fancy. And I used to read Louis L'Amour Westerns all the time when I was a kid. So I'm like, okay, I haven't read one of these for a bit. I like to read those. I grabbed it, and I took it home. I don't know. I'm just not getting into the Louis L'Amour
thing
anymore.
We had a bookshelf of Louis L'Amour's when I was a kid. I think they were all my grandpa's. Mom, if you're listening, I probably should have had you call in and answer that one. But there was a whole bookshelf of Louis L'Amour's, and I kind of remember reading them like at 16, 17, when, you know, we didn't have another trip coming up to the library, or the bookmobile wasn't coming soon. And so you just kind of had to fend for yourself in the house.
Indeed.
And at that time, I do remember loving those. You got to be a Western lover, though. Mm-hmm. You've got to really like that cowboy feel, which in high school I really did. Do you remember a TV show called Young Riders?
Young Riders? No, I don't think so.
It was when I was about 16, 17, so we're in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. It was all of the infamous cowboys. Okay. Wild Bill Hickok.
Yeah.
It was Cody. It was all of them. And every week they were part of the Pony Express delivering mail, and of course being attacked and dealing with all sorts of things. It had quite a few big names in it, if I remember correctly. I think Josh Brolin was in it, and
probably so early 90s. Yeah,
it was an amazing show, but that Louis L'Amour fit in perfect.
Yeah, I'll grab it. Maybe it just seems a little bit cheesier than I remember.
It could be a little cheesier.
I don't know.
You know, books change with time, just like the rest.
I think our guest has a couple of books she
wants
to share.
Does our guest have a couple books? Yeah. That's fantastic. Welcome to the show, Anne.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here today.
I am so excited. And Anne, can you say your last name for me? I didn't have the opportunity to have Nicole say that out loud to me.
It's all right. And it's a difficult one. It's McAvoy. So it's almost like it has an A there instead of the E.
McAvoy. Mm-hmm. Well, we are so excited to have you. And why don't you tell us about something you're reading today?
Well, if I were to look at the top 12 books, for example, in my Audible or Libby account, or even on my nightstand, they would all be nonfiction books, and they would be names like, they're all biographies or autobiographies of women in history, some more famous than others, including Agatha Christie, Dorothy Day, Mother Cabrini, the Borden sisters. These are all projects that I'm either reviewing because they're one of the characters I perform, or new programs that I'm working on because I'm a member of Women in History. But when it comes to the topic of talking books, since I'm going to talk about that a little bit later in the show, the best book I've read in this whole past year is a book called James, which I'm guessing you may have already talked about on this show.
It has not been talked about. I have been watching reviews on that, seeing my friends on Goodreads go crazy. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about James?
Well, James was written by Percival Everett, who also wrote a book called Erasure that was turned into the movie that was up for several Academy Awards called American Fiction. And I picked up James because I had heard it's a rewrite of Huckleberry Finn, a book that not all schools have students read these days, but you don't really have to have read Huckleberry Finn to appreciate James. However, I would recommend, if you've never read it, read the Cliff Notes before you read James, just to get a feel for the story. And that's, of course, a Mark Twain story, and it's about Tom Sawyer's great friend, Huckleberry Finn, told from a white boy's point of view. One of the main characters in there is the runaway, formerly enslaved person, Jim, who is a huge advocate and, you know, basically saved Huck's life several times. James is the same story told from Jim's point of view. And as I, that was a book I chose to listen to instead of reading, and it had a wonderful reader. I won't think of his name. But I'd be out walking, listening to the book, and I would come to a dead stop, either laughing out loud or saying out loud in front of nobody in particular, not caring if anybody heard me, "Oh, my God, you didn't just make that happen." So it's a total reinvention of the story and was surprising and moving and funny. And I will remember that book for a long, long time, and I can't recommend it enough.
What a great recommendation. Thank you so much, Anne. And I think we will take a moment and go to a short break. And when we come back, I cannot wait for you to tell us a little bit more about those two characters that you have been reading about that you're going to be bringing to the Delaware County District Library in this next few weeks.
Yeah, I'll be happy to share.
Looking forward to it. Thank you. And here's to a commercial break.
It's coming right up on The Breakfast Club in My 96.7. Hey, what's going on? It's Mark Bingham and Sherry Fisher, Pam Spencer, the Mid-Ohio Breakfast Club, every weekday morning between 6 and 9. We are getting our Irish on. Thank you very much. Got a little Guinness here, trying some Cole Cannon. Oh, and Irish butter. Irish butter, interesting.
The extra fat in the Irish butter.
Hold on, I'm looking it now.
He did. He just licked.
I'm licking butter this AM. There's one kid in every class, you know?
Yeah, Bingham.
Don't even get me going on glue, man. Bring out the Elmer's glue.
I was just going to say, don't do it, Mark. Don't eat the glue.
That's right. No glue eaters allowed on this morning show. Sherry Fisher, of course, has Mid-Ohio News. Pam Spencer, traffic all morning long. Love to have you join us between 6 and 9 on the Mid-Ohio Breakfast Club.
All aboard!
There's a new way to travel, and it's one of the oldest forms of transportation. Travel by train. Yes, consider traveling around the United States on Amtrak. Traveling by train is a lot less of a headache than taking a plane, and you'd be surprised how many places you can go on an Amtrak, and there's no passports or IDs needed. Find out how to get where you're going as soon as tomorrow by train. Call the Amtrak Travel Hotline right now. We'll book your trip and email your tickets within minutes. Skip the drive to the airport and skip the lines. Call right now to book your Amtrak reservations. We service most of the United States.
All aboard!
Do something new. Travel by Amtrak today.
800-229-1369. 800-229-1369. 800-229-1369. That's 800-229-1369.
Delaware County Veteran Services, here to help county veterans with emergency financial assistance for things like food, utility, rent, or mortgage at a time of need. They have a transportation team that helps veterans get to medical appointments, and they help veterans access their VA benefits, including nursing and long-term care. If you are a veteran or the loved one of a veteran in Delaware County, let them help you too. It's free. Check them out online. Call or stop by their office, located in the historic courthouse in downtown Delaware. Delaware County Veteran Services, here to help make life a little easier.
My 96.7 weather for the weekend for today. First of all, a little mixture of clouds and sunshine. Nice and warm, though, with an eventual high of 77. And clouds up a little bit tonight, and the rain starts tomorrow. 68 for the high on Saturday, with afternoon thunderstorms very likely. Rain continues into Sunday. We have an early high in the morning of about 58 degrees, then it starts to fall throughout the day on Sunday, down to about 45 by late afternoon. And rain. So this is the nicest and sunniest day of the entire weekend. Right now, 42 degrees in downtown Delaware. Back to Off the Shelf. Here's Molly.
So I hear get outside over the weekend.
Yeah, right. You better do that.
Pretty excited about that, actually.
You'll get a little bit wet. It's going to be wet and windy and blowy, though.
You know what? I can handle it.
Do you have a crew game this weekend? Is there a home game?
I don't know about crew, but I know on Monday we've got a Blue Jackets game.
No, that's so right. Well, they're inside, so that's better.
They're inside. I can handle it.
All right.
I can handle the inside. But I am excited because, Anne, we are back with you, and I cannot wait to start talking about what you are bringing to the library. you are going to be presenting for us on two characters in history. You're going to talk about Molly Brown and Agatha Christie on two different dates at two of our different branches. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what the program is that you're going to be bringing, each of the programs that you're bringing to the library?
Sure. So I'm actually doing both programs on the same day. I'm coming down from Cleveland. The woman who booked these booked me at the Liberty Branch Library at 1 o'clock to portray Margaret Tobin Brown, who's better known as the unthinkable Molly Brown. And then at 3:30, I'll be at the Delaware Main Library, and I'll be performing as Agatha Christie, because with women in history, we don't come and talk about the characters. We come as the characters, complete with costume, and present in first person as if that person were right there in the room with you.
I can't tell you how excited I am about this. Molly Brown, growing up a Molly, it was not a common name when I was little. It became common later. So I was pretty excited about anybody with a name. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your process to prepare to be some of these characters? Maybe some of the fun facts you've learned as you've gone through that.
Sure. So I've been doing this for about 25 years. Never liked history when I was in school. Until around the time Ken Burns and the History Channel, when it was actually the History Channel,
yes.
came out of the scene, and realized that history was so much more than learning the dates of the signing of the Magna Carta and all the major battles and all the men's names. And because I was a performer, I was kind of drawn to this kind of history, and now I've become kind of a history nerd for sure. When I first started looking into Molly Brown, all I was familiar with were the, you know, two or three films that have featured her that, you know, were obviously mm-hmm. films about the Titanic, and the musical that had been written about her. And come to find out, it was mostly myth. For example, the movie and the Broadway musical features the fact that she had no mother, which is ridiculous, mm-hmm. Because the family kept tons of records on her. And all the children went to school and could read and write because the mother's sister lived right across the street in Hannibal, Missouri, and ran the schoolhouse. But when I think about Molly and people ask me about her, yes, her contributions to saving lives on the Titanic is significant, but that story is just the tip of the iceberg, as I like to say,
when we get to know
the rest of her story. Because she was incredible that way throughout her life. And her true story is so much more engaging and fascinating. And the family kept meticulous records, postcards, letters, newspaper articles, diaries. And so all that information was there to be had. I was fortunate enough to have a daughter who lived in Denver for several years. And the original Molly Brown house with the two big lions out in front is a museum. It was almost torn down, but wow. I got to go there twice and learned even more, you know, from some of the people at the house. So I love telling her story, and I think people are usually very surprised to find out what the rest of her life was like as well. The fascination, the draw, of course, is around the Titanic.
Yes, but what a so great character to make so much deeper during Women's History Month. Being able to let people see, because I remember as a kid being surprised there was so much more about her than the Titanic as well. She was so strong.
She really was. And she cared, even as a wealthy, wealthy woman, she never forgot, you know, the poor people, the displaced people, the Asian people who worked on the Transcontinental Railroad or came out to, you know, try and get some money then when lead and gold, you know, were discovered. And we're never, you know, when the silver mines went bust, they weren't allowed to ride the trains back east to get back home because they were different. So she always remembered those people and was always, you know, building homes and libraries and helping out with other people. And unlike most of the myths, she was widely accepted and celebrated in Denver. There was just a small portion of the society that decided that she had come by her money too quickly, and she was Catholic, and she was Irish. So those all counted against her.
An amazing story. And I have to say, I would like to point out, too, before we run too close on time on this, is a bit about your history. as I realized I was going to take over the show this morning, I started looking you up. I'd love if you could share with our listeners a little bit about your background. This isn't something you just stumbled into. You've done quite a bit in theater with your background starting in the university. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I've been a lover of theater since the first play my mother took me to see when I was like 5 or 6 years old, and was notorious in the neighborhood for dragging neighborhood kids into the basement and putting on a show with, you know, sheets hanging on the clothesline down in the unfinished basement.
I would have so been one of your friends.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't get to know you then. Because they weren't all willing, believe me. I had to put them on. I pursued the theater and acting and directing in college. Got married, had 5 kids. My husband and I started a nonprofit. But as I was raising the kids and became a single mom, I didn't have a lot of time for theater. But as they got older, I was looking for opportunities where I could control my time, where I wasn't committing to 5 or 6 weeks of rehearsals and another 4 weeks of performances. And this Women in History opportunity came up. And the lovely thing about it is we get a request, and if you can fit that into your schedule that day, you take the gig. If you can't, then you turn it down. And it, you know, there's about 12 of us. We portray over 60 women from American history, and we're branching out now and doing some international characters as well. But these are all women that were left out of the history books, and their stories are so integral to the story of our country. So, as I said, I became a history nerd, and now that I'm retired, I'm doing a lot of theater. I'm currently directing a show called The Half-Life of Marie Curie.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, so that's right up my alley. That's kind of how I got involved with this.
Well, and let me make sure our listeners all know when you're going to be at each library. You're going to be at the Liberty Branch at Liberty Community Room A. That one is coming up, and on Saturday, March 29th from 1 to 2. And then, like you said, later that day, you're going to head down to the Delaware Main Library from 3:30 to 4:30 that same day, and you're going to bring Agatha Christie to life. Is there a little teaser you can give us in our last few minutes about who Agatha Christie is?
Well, it's funny because when I start the Agatha Christie program, I start by not being very happy about being there because Agatha hated speaking in public.
Are you kidding me?
No, she hated. She was such a private person. She said, I began writing to avoid talking to people.
I had no idea. So now I've already learned my first fact.
And her household growing up as a child, she recalls as being quite idyllic. But people wonder, how did this, you know, little golden-haired child who had two aristocratic parents who indulged her in everything, you know, come up with such a dark imagination? But there were some, there were shadows in that house. There were skeletons in her parents' closets. And growing up in Victorian England, that gives a child a lot of fodder for, you know, for an imagination, because she was not allowed to go to school till after she was 10 years old. Her mother didn't even want her to read till she was 8.
So wait, is Agatha Christie's own life an Agatha Christie novel?
It's not a novel. There have been some films that have made about it. I mean, she's all over Netflix and Amazon and PBS these days. She's mm-hmm. become quite popular all over again. And she is the top-selling author, second only to Shakespeare in the Bible.
I did not realize that. Now, that is fair. I have to say, I've never picked up an Agatha Christie I have not loved.
Well, that's good to hear. She would like to know that.
And do you have a favorite Agatha Christie novel you've read?
I don't have a favorite novel. And I will, this here's a disclaimer for people who are considering attending. I do not, as Agatha, talk about specific books very much. I tell interesting facts about how a particular story came to be, or how it was received, or the criticism, or her plays. And even her feelings about certain films that were made. But out of respect for people who've never read one of those novels, I don't give away anything.
So you're I'll just going to create the want to read one of those novels.
She wants people to buy her book.
Yes! That is a wonderful point. And I cannot thank you enough for joining us on the show today and bearing with me as I try to play the Nicole and Molly at the same time. As I see, we're running out of time here. I want to thank you again, and I cannot wait to see you on March 29th as Molly Brown at 1 at Liberty, Agatha Christie at 3:30 at Delaware. And to our listeners, I want to thank you all, and I will see you in the stacks.